What's going on? You're listening to The Peak Weekly, where we have conversations with the most interesting people in Canadian business. I'm your host, Brett Chang. Hey everyone, hope you're staying safe and healthy during COVID. Here's a quick tip for surviving lockdowns. Candles. The calming aroma can make even the gloomiest days a little bit easier to get through, and they're also great to put on while you're listening to podcasts and this week's edition of The Peak Weekly. And so what's on deck for today's episode, you might ask? Well, we've got a really great guest for you this week, Sam Liberté, the founder of The Freedom Lifestyle. She's going to talk to us about a topic that I've been really interested in for a long time. I don't know about you, but do you ever see those digital nomads, the people who travel around the world, who work off their laptop and earn money, and you wonder, well, how could I do that? Well, that's Sam. She actually does that. She travels the world and makes money off of her laptop. And in this episode of The Peak Weekly, we're going to talk to her about how exactly she does that. Here's what you can expect to take away from this week's edition of The Peak Weekly. You're going to learn what the freedom lifestyle is, get practical tips on how anyone, especially you, can transition to a digital nomadic lifestyle. Sam will walk us through her own business, how she makes money, her challenges and learnings, and we'll end with telling you the biggest opportunities in the freedom lifestyle space and how soon you'll be working from a beach house in Costa Rica as well. I really enjoyed this conversation and can't wait for you to hear it, but before we do, and as always, I've got to ask you to do two things for me. One, please smash that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you use. And two, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please, please, please leave a review. It's the best way for people to find out about us, and it gives us the fuel we need to keep making these podcasts. But without further ado, I'm really excited for you to hear this conversation. Here is Sam Liberté. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Peak Weekly. We have an excellent and very special guest joining us today, Sam Liberté, founder of The Freedom Lifestyle. And I'm joined, as always, by Peak co-founder Alex Blumenstein. Sam, Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting. Congrats on your new show.
Thank you very much. You know what? It's gone through two iterations now, and we're hoping to stop it there. I'm not looking to do a third. And so we'll see how it goes. But really excited to have you, Sam. And so I guess what I wanted to do is just take a second. You've got such an interesting story, such an interesting background, and you're always working on cool stuff. So I thought we'd just kind of take a second to start off with who you are, what you do, and then we can kind of dig into your background a bit.
Sure. I am Sam, as you said. So I'm the founder of The Freedom Lifestyle, which I'm now really coining it as more of a movement than anything else, but it really started 3 years ago as a podcast. So maybe, you know, 3 years from now, you'll be calling the Peak a movement too.
Oh, we'll see about that.
I think you have much movements more of a claim. Have a connotation that we don't want to align ourselves with.
You have much more of a claim to a movement than we do, yeah.
It's definitely a lot of pressure, but I feel proud of it. Really what I'm all about is helping others liberate their lives, create more freedom in their lives through flexible work. And as I've pursued that mission myself, I've discovered lots of different revenue streams that really the thing that ties them all together is I can work on my own terms from anywhere in the world as flexibly as possible. And I really think when you have that, that's when you can truly tap into what life has to offer and kind of take your life back in that sense.
And the Freedom Lifestyle podcast is excellent, and I would encourage everyone to listen to it. She's got great interviews with people, like she said, who have found freedom in their work. And it has a lot of really practical advice that anyone can use in their own career. So everyone should give it a listen. I guess I'd love to know, what was your background before founding the Freedom Lifestyle, and what triggered you to shift?
I had experienced entrepreneurship and the freedom lifestyle, which I wasn't calling it back then, a few times in my early career. I started my first business when I was 24 and I ran that for a bit, and that was my full-time thing. And then after that business kind of wrapped up, me and my co-founders, you know, kind of went separate ways and kind of put a wrap to that business. I went back and got a job. And that job was software sales. I had always been really good at relationship building, having conversations with people. I had done sales before for other startups. So I did the software sales thing in Toronto, was making great money, super cool culture, lots of millennials, all the perks, kind of living that dream. And I ended up meeting my then boyfriend, now fiance, 3 months before he moved to San Francisco. So it actually completely starts as a love story, which I think is even more special because it's been always from the beginning about a lifestyle more than anything else. And it really started with him moving and us being in an LDR.
Awesome. I love that. And we'll get into your LDR product later. But I guess we'd love to know, what skills did you pick up along the way that you thought were valuable to making that transition? And, you know, what can people do now to start working towards that freedom lifestyle?
Yeah. So for me, really what happened was, because he moved to San Francisco and I was in this like 9-to-5 job, I had to figure out how I could move to San Francisco and be with him. And if you're a Canadian, maybe you've had that aspiration before of trying to move to the US, and hopefully you haven't been as burned as me, but it ends up happening where I go there, interview, get a job offer, so exciting, quit my job, sign the offer, and then they take the offer back. Yeah. So I find myself unemployed out of nowhere and have to very quickly figure out, how can I transfer my software sales skills into a freelance capacity? Because at that point, I wasn't getting a visa to move to the United States. So the next best option was to go there and be a freelancer and still be able to work from anywhere. So that was never the intention, but very quickly I had to transfer my skills. And I think anybody, you know, has skills that can be suited well for a freelance lifestyle. And that exercise of figuring that out can and look so many different directions. One really practical thing that I've told people to do is, you can go on a freelance marketplace like Fiverr, and you can just literally go see what other people are selling, and you'd surprise yourself. You could be like, oh, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. 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 And maybe that's how it starts. And you know, what I used to offer and what I offer now are completely different. So it's so much experimentation, but it starts with just figuring out, what can you offer as a freelancer that's a bit more transactional than, you know, a full-time job.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about, you know, what you specifically offer, and maybe more about your revenue streams. And also, because you mentioned earlier, you have multiple revenue streams, and the importance of creating multiple revenue streams if you're living the freedom lifestyle, or the freedom movement, as we're now calling it, right?
Yeah, definitely. I've really diversified them, but it started with, who will hire me to do something remotely? And 3 years ago, before COVID, this was, you know, a phenomenon. That's why my podcast was so successful. It was like, how do you do this? Now it's kind of like, well, everyone's a remote worker. And, you know, what's my unique angle now? But at the beginning, it was, who will hire me to do something no matter where I am in the world? And so it was a lot of random stuff. You know, I did social media work for people. I did influencer relations. I did sales consulting. I helped with some conferences. Really anyone who needed extra help and an extra hand and didn't have resources on their team, they're really willing to outsource to a freelancer on a project basis. So year one was just like a lot of experimentation. Year two was, okay, what are the things that will actually make me more money? And so I really started to figure out what's most lucrative. I really realized there's a difference between, even though I'm the same person and I'm going to put just as much effort, when I'm doing one thing versus another, that hourly rate can be like very different. And so then I started to pursue things that were more lucrative. So now it's a mix of, you know, high ticket freelance consulting type projects where someone will hire me for a defined period of time to help them with something in their business, sales, marketing related. I have a podcasting course because by nature of launching a podcast, a lot of people wanted to know how I did it. So I turned that into a passive revenue stream. And then I have some of my own digital products. We have the LDR activity book that I alluded to at the beginning, and just various ways that you can bring money into ultimately like facilitate a lifestyle that allows you to kind of do your own thing.
And, you know, I don't know if Brett cleared with you ahead of time, and he might not be as comfortable asking because you guys are friends, but maybe like, are you willing to get into some of the numbers on your different revenue streams? So you have a course that's recurring revenue. Tell us about that. Like, how much money can you make doing that? What do you price the course at? How many people take it?
Yeah, totally. So I started my course as an in-person workshop. That was like my comfort zone. I had done events before, so I knew the concept of like creating an event structure, promoting it, and selling tickets to it. So when I would start doing that, I sold it at $35. It sold out. So then I hosted it again and I increased it to $40 and then sold out again. And I did that for about a year until I really tapped out. At the most someone would spend for like an in-person workshop was like $50. But if I had 20 people in the room, 3 hours of my time, like that was pretty good money. So once I did that for a year, I would have more and more people say to me, you know, I can't attend your workshop in Toronto, or I am in Toronto and that time doesn't work. So I realized I was leaving money on the table. And so now what I basically do is I've recorded a lot of that content and I'll sell it for like $99, the exact same thing, right? But because you can do it on demand at your own time, people will pay a little bit more for that convenience. And so I'll sell that. That'll bring in, you know, a few thousand dollars passively per month to my business. And then the third tier of that is there's marketplaces. Mm-hmm. So my exact course, remember the entire time, this is the exact same content that I'm now selling at different price points just based on perceived value. So now Fiverr Learn has picked up my course. They're selling the exact same content. They're selling it for a lot less, but I don't need to acquire the customer. So every quarter, you know, I get a check from them being like, this, how many of your course we sold. So it's about just like taking the knowledge and then figuring out where you can generate revenue from it, and knowing that some places you'll make more and some places you'll make less.
I think productizing your services is obviously a very good thing to do to achieve the freedom lifestyle. I did it myself. I made a Notion course, and I put that Notion course on Skillshare and on Udemy. And on Skillshare, every month they get, you know, 200, 300 bucks just from the course that I made once. And it just keeps selling itself without having to acquire users. In terms of how you go about doing acquisition for the properties that you own, because obviously you make more money off of that, what channels have you found to be particularly successful at raising awareness and acquiring customers?
Of course, social media is the one that everyone talks about, right? I think it's important to have a personal brand on social media. And Brett, you and I have talked a little bit about this too, about, you know, how you know you need to do it, but like maybe you weren't there yet, at least when we spoke, and it looks like you're doing a great job now. So kudos. But that self-promotion piece can be a bit of a hiccup for others. It is really important, right? It is important that you're like nurturing a following by adding value. So I really see social media as a place for me to offer value, showcase that I'm credible, showcase that, you know, the way I teach is engaging and interesting, and not to worry about like, well, I'm teaching this for free on Instagram. That's something I could get paid for. It's about like delivering value. So that always works. And then, you know, how can you get referral partners? So it's about also creating strategic relationships. That Fiverr example is a perfect one. You know, who are people that have access to my ideal customer that I can work out some type of arrangement with them where they'll on an ongoing basis promote my stuff for me. And it can be transactional. You can promote their stuff too, or there can be money involved, like affiliate marketing. So that's been super helpful for me, is to have those strategic partnerships. And, you know, of course, the podcast is a great way for me to network. So when I'm not like actively engaging my audience or making strategic partnerships, you know, that podcast allows me to, on an ongoing basis, build my personal brand, make new connections. I'm constantly interviewing people. I'm constantly in these conversations, and these can be your strategic partners for life.
What about community? I mean, this is all like super interesting from like a personal perspective, or like from a business perspective. Obviously, Brett and I are building a business right now. And one of the things we're thinking a lot about is how do we take the newsletter and build it into a community. And we've debated about platforms and how to engage people. Talk to us about how you've approached that.
I had a Facebook group for Freedom Lifestyle pretty early on. That was the second thing I did. So it was a podcast. And then after season one, so many people were saying, hey, you know, I'd love to be able to connect with some of the people that were on your show or like other freedom seekers. And so I created a Facebook group like pretty quickly. And what's great about Facebook groups is it's not always just like you to many, right? If you do it well, you can kind of sit back and let the community add value to itself, right? Where people are engaging with each other, people are sharing resources. And now you have this marketing channel that you now own. And there's some smart things you can do with collecting emails and all of that tactically. But yeah, having community in that sense has been really important. I think that any client that I have now that's in the entrepreneurial space where they're like teaching or educating is now throwing in some type of online community with their course or with their mastermind or with that. So I think it's super relevant. Did you have a specific question about, you know, what you're thinking for yours, or do you want to brainstorm some ideas right now?
I mean, our big debate was whether we should use Slack or whether we should use Facebook. And our kind of like the point of contention is like, I'm never on Facebook and I'm on Slack much more, but we've seen more than once through our businesses that Slack doesn't really work. And we've seen other people say Slack doesn't work, but like intuitively to me, at least, Slack seems like the place for our audience.
Yeah, that's a great question. I have really big clients like Boss Babe with Honors that are basically these large organizations that have members that have been in this exact scenario. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, those tend to be the best options. As much as we're like seeing the challenges with Facebook and more people are getting off of it, the power of a Facebook group is still one of the most powerful places, in my opinion, purely because of what you just said. Most people are on it. Most people have a Facebook account. Most people are checking their Facebook account multiple times a day. Changing behavior of people is really, really difficult unless there's going to be a very high value and promise that they'd get out for it. Something that's like free, that's just like optional, that's there, it kind of needs to be super convenient. So it could be Slack, but I would ask myself, like, who is my ideal customer? The Slack customer is typically someone who is professional, who has like a job, who probably works in tech, who's familiar with these things. So if that's who you're speaking to in your newsletter, that could be perfect. If it's not, then that can be a barrier for you.
And sorry that I keep going down this road, but I think it's interesting. What about narrow versus wide when it comes to building community? So, I mean, both of our communities are pretty broad in terms of interests. Like our I'd say like point of conversion for our community is Canadian business news, but people's interests can be all over the place and backgrounds all over the place. For you, it's freedom and travel and lifestyle. But again, it's, you know, people from all backgrounds. So do you keep your community talking about how to be a remote freelancer? Or what do you organize it around?
Well, mine is just about liberating your life through flexible work. So we have remote workers, we have consultants, we have entrepreneurs, we have freelancers like myself, digital nomads. So it's more just like the unifying thing is like liberating your life. But to specifically answer your question around narrow or wide, I would say to anybody, you know, what is your path to monetization? Do you see yourself making money by getting other brands, or do you see yourself making money by charging the end user? If you're charging the end user, then being niche is really important, right? Because you want to ideally sell something that's higher ticket, which means it needs to be very specific. And there's going to be a smaller group of people that you can like sell that to. And you want to just have those right people. If you're looking to do an approach more like what I've done, where I've like brought brands on for different sponsorships, and you're working with companies who want access to an audience, then you want a bigger, wider audience that has like more general common things. And then you're getting a brand involved. So that's what I would dictate to make that decision. When I'm trying to sell my courses, I can't really sell it in the Freedom Lifestyle Facebook group. It's like not niche enough. So I have to do something very specific to acquire aspiring podcasters. I'm a Fiverr Pro seller. I have a monthly email newsletter for podcasters. And that's what I'm doing to like sell higher ticket. I'm creating a mastermind right now for podcasters. But Freedom Lifestyle, like it's much more broad.
Sure.
And then we've talked about it a few times now, but I'd love to get into the LDR book. And so just tell us what it is, and then we can talk about kind of successes and challenges with it.
Yeah, LDR, long distance relationship, is what that acronym is. And yeah, just going back to how this all started for me, right? I found myself in a long distance relationship for a long period of time. It was 2 years before Jared quit his job, and now he's on the Freedom Lifestyle. He didn't love the consulting freelance life as much as me. He wants like a full-time steady career job that he can work online. And that's cool for him. For me, I love the biz dev. I love like multiple things on the go. I get bored easily, but we're both in Costa Rica right now. We're both like just went for a swim on our lunch break, and we're both like living that lifestyle in a way that works for us. So I respect his way too. He, after 2 years, he joined me, and the only way we survived 2 years of long distance is by being very intentional. It's a lot of effort required to maintain a long distance relationship. So we would have a lot of like intense conversations early on. We would do a lot of activities from a distance. We had to figure out how to build trust with someone I had known for 4 months that like, you know, they could really be doing whatever they want. So by just nature of us being like entrepreneurial, intense people, we ended up productizing our relationship and created an activity book about what worked for us. We got a psychologist involved, it's his mom, and created a really fun activity book for couples who are still in LDRs, even though now we've closed the distance.
What's like having awesome. A mother-in-law who's a psychologist involved in your relationship? No, kidding. Brett, next question.
Yeah. Thank you. A Jewish mother-in-law. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. She's got naming rights on the book.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I noticed that right away. So I bought two books, not for myself, but I bought them for friends. And I noticed right at the top, I saw Dr. Court, I believe. And I thought, I'm pretty sure that's Jared's mom. And I gave the books away. Unfortunately, that law and innocence relationship is no longer a relationship, which is sad. It was not due with the book. It was to do with much deeper problems. But nonetheless, so what were your learnings getting that book to market, launching it, selling it? Because I know, I remember talking to Jared about this, and it sounded like it was, you know, just a pain to get it printed and shipped over, and then fulfillment and the cost associated with that. And so I'm sure it wasn't easy getting it all up and running. What were some of the lessons you learned?
The biggest lesson was definitely the fact that we printed it. So we were those stubborn entrepreneurs that just like had a vision and didn't pay attention to the research and data. And so many people were like, make it a digital version, make it a digital book. Like no one wants hard copy anymore. And we're like, oh, our book is so good. Everyone wants the hard copy with it. Everyone's going to want this tangible thing. And sure enough, like 70% of our sales are the digital download, which is like literally free money, right? Because we created it, it sits there, someone buys it and it gets emailed to them. And that can happen several times a day without me doing anything. The book, on the other hand, the hard copy, while it's drop shipping, so same experience, someone buys it, it gets shipped from one of our warehouses, there's like a recurring cost involved in the shipping. The books were very, very expensive. We had to print 10,000 minimum to start. So it was just a big investment.
Can you share with us how many you've sold so far?
We broke even on the Kickstarter, basically. Okay. So that's how we launched. Was we didn't sell 10,000 books, but we broke even, basically. We still have a lot of books and they're hard to sell. So a lot are in our garage, but basically how we hedged our bets was we knew that was a very specific customer. And when you're going niche, again, like we talked about, you're going to need to often do a paid ad spend to target that customer, unless you've, you know, been nurturing a community of long distance relationships for your life. Like we hadn't been doing that. So we did a Kickstarter as a way to collect a bunch of money from friends who wanted to support us, but wouldn't necessarily be our target customer. So Brett, it sounds like you had people in your life to give the book to, but we had a lot of people that just like bought two books or like threw $100 towards the campaign just to support us. So that's like a really smart way to make money at the beginning when you know that you're going to have a lot of people in your life who want to support you, but they're not going to be the end user for it. So I'm really glad we did that. I think that was one of the smartest things we did. And then the dumbest things was printing 10,000 copies.
Yeah, I can attest to the digital product side. I made a number of Notion templates that I sold like 20 of, and I made like $1,000 off of it. It was incredible. And once you make it once, and you can sell it, you know, an infinite amount of times. And so it really is like free money. So if you're looking to productize your services or find a way to get started into the freedom lifestyle, I don't know if you'd agree, Sam, but I think these digital products, whether it's like a Notion template or a WordPress template or a Shopify template or an ebook, this type of stuff is probably your best path to doing so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any type of passive income, right? You just want to like diversify and spread it out. The idea to create more freedom, you can't only get paid when you work. If that's constantly the transaction you're making with the universe every single day, you are hitting a plateau. You're going to have to keep increasing your hourly rate, which you should do, but it's, you know, who wants to work 9-10 hours a day? Like I love the idea of the 4-hour work week much more than, okay, I'm a high ticket consultant, but I work like 50 hours a week. So thinking about how you can get paid when you sleep, even if it's just like an extra $1,000 a month, like for that amount is a lot for a lot of people. And I think that's a great place to start.
Maybe something that's of interest to me on that note is on your website, you wrote something that you have tips on how to get people to pay you for advice, right? And we're not paying you, but I think, you know, Brett and I personally, as well as our listeners, would like to know how to do that. Quick tips.
Had to get paid to give advice. So first of all, you have to be someone who has something to say that the world has indicated that they value what you have to say, right? Sure. So you want to have had that experience prior where you're noticing like a lot of people reach out to you. A lot of people are saying like, can I pick your brain? Which I hope we can all agree. Like we got to stop saying that. It's a weird thing to say. The visual's gross, but it's also just passe, right? Mm-hmm. You want to have noticed that people are coming to me for advice about this thing, or this is something that a lot of people are asking me to weigh in on. So if you're finding that, then maybe it's time for you to actually create like a formalized product around that, which is what I did last year. When COVID hit, I lost 3 of my major freelance clients that were responsible for most of my income. So obviously I panicked, and then I got entrepreneurial of like, okay, well, how can I just like make some quick money and figure this out? And I had always wanted to offer like a call, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is what my time is worth, to just have a random call for my friends kind of thing. So that's what I did. I found a really cool tool. You can book.me. It's amazing. You have, you know, people can see your calendar and see right very clear how much it would cost for them to talk to you. They have to pay up front. You don't have to do any of the weird conversations of like, okay, I'm going to invoice you for that. Or like, oh, you haven't paid me. It's like paid for, it's through Stripe and it's done. So that's something I did earlier last year. The rate has increased quite a bit from when I first started. At the beginning, it was like, let's just figure out the tool. Let's see how I would position this in the market. Let's see if people would pay for it. Let's get some testimonials. And now it's just like something that sits there and it's awkward. Some people, when they reach out to me and they're my friend, they will be a bit offended, right? Sure. There's definitely that curve and that hump you have to get over, which is like, oh, I'm actually like charging now for these types of conversations. I would love to help you with it. Like, you know, here's where you can sign up for a consult. So it's, you know, there's some change management, but I'm really glad I did. And the people who got offended by it, I mean, that says a lot more about them than it will ever say about you.
Mm-hmm. And what do, I mean, people you know or people you don't know, what are they asking you about when they set up calls with you?
Yeah. So I kind of have like a bullet list of things you can ask me about. So it can be about how to launch a podcast, how to create a course, how to become a freelancer, how to start your first business, how to work online, how to be in an LDR, like basically all these things I've been learning how to do and I've created these revenue streams for. I'll just throw that as an example. And most people are now asking me to help them with podcast consults. That's like mostly my specialty, but you know, you'll get the odd person who just wants to become a freelancer and things like that too.
Sure. And maybe taking a big step back, how do you get to the point where people are asking to pick your brain? What can you do to like generate that inbound?
Just be generous on social media. Honestly, like Instagram stories is like one of the most powerful tools. It's so engaging when you have someone with like the camera on and they're talking. And they have just like, you know, the pro tip is to put some text, like summarize what you're saying. Cause I think 80% of people are on social media, not listening with sound now. So quickly, like put the text on the screen so people know the context. And if it's like something relevant to them, you know, maybe they'll put that effort to listen to it, but just be valuable, be generous, share tips. We're all reading things. We're all taking courses. We're all subscribing to cool newsletters like yours. You know, when you learn something cool, as part of your practice, take 30 seconds to be like, hey, I just read this amazing article. Here's 3 things I learned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, have a theme around that. Be known for something. I would go so far as to say, like, find your 5 things you want to be known for. And, you know, maybe for you, it's very like technical and intentional at the beginning where you're like, okay, I said I would talk about Bitcoin 3 times a week. Okay, well, it's Thursday. Like, what am I going to say? But if you just do that consistently, not only will it become more natural and organic, people will come to you. People will know where to place you, know where to refer you, and know what to ask you for.
It's great advice.
You mentioned that you were in Costa Rica and you've done a bunch of traveling while living the freedom lifestyle. And I'd love to hear how that's gone for you. I think it's a very intimidating prospect for people to truly adopt the nomadic lifestyle where they're traveling city to city, but you really have done that. How has that been for you? Have you enjoyed it so far? And I know you settled down in Canada, but are you still planning to do that?
Yeah, definitely. We bought our first house in 2020 and a lot of people said that to me like, oh, good luck having the freedom lifestyle with a house. Like then we bought a car. Oh, you're going to be so stuck. Well, I'm in Costa Rica. My house is rented and my car is rented. Like we're using Turo on our car. We have someone staying at our house for a month. These things can be investments. And again, this is passive income. The amount that I'm charging for my Airbnb 100% is much more than my mortgage. It is more than my internet. It is more than all of that. Like that is passive income. And the car, yeah, it's kind of stressful. We've had the car for a month. A random person is driving it from Vancouver to Whistler, but it's like, what matters to you? Is it like having all these things picturally perfect with no scratches on your car and like not a single dent in your new house? Or it's like, do you want to be able to be in Costa Rica for, you know, a month and a half because there's a pandemic in your city and it feels unsafe to even go anywhere? So that to me has always had more value, but I think that's the hiccup, is like we have a lot of attachment to our stuff. So that part came easy. What didn't come easy was like traveling long-term. Like I think there was a lot of learning curves for me with that. How long should you stay in one place before moving? There's that desire to get to a new city and like explore it all. Well, it's like, okay, I got to work a bit, right? It's been a journey of figuring it out, but now I'm more like slow travel. You know, you're there for 1 month and you get a nice place with good internet. You can get better deals if you rent a place for a month anyway. And you kind of like set up home away from home versus traveling every 3 days to a new city, which we also had done. And it was a shit show.
Sure. It truly does sound like the dream. It's funny. We did a survey of Peak readers and I think 50% of them said they want to start a side hustle or their own business in the next year. And so there's a bunch of interest in doing this. And I think these are the types of businesses that they're looking to start. Do you have any thoughts on what the big opportunities are, like what the low hanging fruit is for somebody who's looking to adopt a freedom lifestyle?
Yeah, I think figure out what you can teach. It was already disrupted and the like information online education space has been growing for a very long time. There's a lot of people making a lot of money from courses, through masterminds, through teaching other people something that seems very, very simple to them, that there's a lot of people who have no idea how to do that and they will pay to skip the line, which is how I've been reframing it, right? Like when you're paying for someone's advice, you are skipping the line. You're not doing all of the work that they've had to do to learn that thing. You're paying them X amount and you now know how to do it at the end of that call kind of thing. So that's the value. There's, you know, that industry has been growing, but now with COVID and education has been disrupted. Like I think that education as a whole is going to be very different. I think you're going to see a lot more people intentionally not going to expensive universities and colleges and taking online courses and being more entrepreneurial and learning things much more practical, much quicker. I think we're going to see a shift towards, you know, college and universities. For me, it was really like a very expensive networking event is what I say. Like I made my connections by going to Western. I didn't learn that much about business, right? But maybe through masterminds and stuff, right? That's how you pay for those networks and pay for those connections. So I think we're just getting started with that. And I would look into how you can be part of that.
Cool. And I guess my last question, I think we're running out of time here, but is what resources would you recommend to people? Are there any books, any newsletters or blogs or podcasts other than the Freedom Lifestyle, which everyone should listen to, that you would recommend?
I think the 4-Hour Work Week, I actually only just read it quite recently. The book's now 10 years old, but it's amazing how much is still relevant today. There's definitely chapters in there that are all about like how to quit your job or, you know, convince your boss to be a remote worker. So like maybe that's where you're at. But I think that in general is a very good for people who, as you said, the word dream, right? Like this is like a dream. Like, is this even real for you to like really hear many, many, many case studies of people who are actually working 4 hours a week and making 4 times the amount of income as they were before and are living the dream. So that's very aspirational. I would also say the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad is just a really great book that explains just like honestly how taxes work and just how much better it is for you to be self-employed than work for a company. Like you literally just can make so much more money. And I know you guys know that too, but I think those are like foundational for like, here's why it makes sense. And then the rest is just like, follow what excites you and find specific stuff to, you know, what you want to create in the world.
Yeah, I think the way that Alex and I and Taylor, we all look at it is a combination of what Sam is recommending. And then if you want to listen to a few episodes before this, real estate, I think if you mix the two, and you've done that too with the house in Squamish, but if you can combine the two where you have both an asset that generates for you passive income, plus you have a number of projects that you do that can diversify your revenue streams, you're probably in a really good place. So I think you guys are really well set.
Thank you. Yeah. Plus Jared's such a good saver, right? So
exactly. Sam, this was such an excellent interview. I loved hearing from you. I thought there was just a ton of practical advice for our listeners and peak readers. And so really appreciate you taking your time. And I thought it was great. Alex, do you have any?
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought that was fantastic. And I mean, I could have gone another hour just like interrogating you on how you run each part of your life. So maybe we'll have to have you back, in a couple months to go for part two.
Totally. And by then it'll be different too, right? It's like it's ever evolving and starting. Like just start with something. I'm so friggin' glad. Like 3 years ago, my amazing opportunity to have this cushy, high paid job in San Francisco fell apart. And I had no other choice but to figure it out. It was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Other than meeting Jared.
And I'm happy you didn't forget that one. And Sam, where can people find you?
I'm so easy to find on the internet. You can just search my name and you will find me on most social platforms. I'm the most active on Instagram. I am taking a little break right now, but you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, whatsyourfree.com.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Sam. It was great talking to you.
Oh, thanks for having me. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.